Today we're going to be looking at the last message in our series, How To, that we started a little while ago. If you remember, with this series, we talked about three things. Remember, we said if you want to be able to do anything, there's three things that you need. Does anybody remember what those three things are? Tools. Awesome. Thank you. James was right. Tools, desire, and awesome. High five, James. Anybody else remember that? Yeah? Awesome. What's that? Now we do. Okay. Sure, with whatever you need to do, you need to have an intersection of three things if you want to be able to do anything. We said it was tools. We said it was knowledge. You need to know how to use your tools. And you need what? Desire. So, does anybody know how to do anything here? Can I see your hand? Right? Let me call on somebody. Ruth Ann, what do you know how to do? Bake. Okay. Cool. So you have knowledge on how to bake. What kind of tools do you use with baking? The oven. Awesome. And you need a few other things, something to put in the oven, right? Yeah. And then you have a desire to bake. By the way, Ruth Ann made me, I was thinking of this the other day, the best banana cream pie I've ever had in my life. Remember? Like last year or so? Not recently. See, but my memory is, I might forget faces, but my memory is sharp with food, especially good food. Last year, and if I recall correctly, you gave me the first pie you ever did, the first banana cream pie, and Lou had to settle for the second one. So, but that was cool, though. I appreciate that, and it was so good. And I was sitting at home the other day and thought, you know what's awesome? I said, our church is awesome. Thank you, Lord. I mentioned we needed fresh pumpkin pie made from the pumpkin, and God blessed us with Ed, who made his fresh pumpkin pie fresh from the pumpkin. And then I was sitting at home saying, Lord, I think I could really use some more pastarillos. It's been a long time. And then Maria makes some pastarillos. Thank you. That was awesome at the dinner, right? And then I was sitting back thinking, this was my newest thing was, it's been a long time since I had a homemade banana cream pie. So if anybody would like to pick that up, it would be fine. Ruth Ann, that was awesome, though. I did buy one from the Amish farmer's market in Vineland. It was okay. It wasn't Ruth Ann's, though, but it was okay. So the Lord is good. But yes, whether it comes to baking or anything, you need to have tools, knowledge, and desire. Well, we're going to, and at the intersection of tools, knowledge, and desire is when you do things. Okay? Well, right now we're going to talk at the last part of this how-to series about a subject that Jesus talked about a lot. Sometimes pastors are accused of talking about this too much. I don't think I would be. But Jesus actually talked about it a whole lot. So we need to deal with these issues. The issue today we're going to deal with is finance. How can we please God with our finances, right? Do finances bring you any stress? Anybody? Right? One of the leading causes of divorce are finances. Who has no stress because of money? Like you just never had stress. Or you don't now. Anybody? All right, yeah. Money can be stressful. Should it be stressful? It shouldn't be. Should we be able to figure out this issue to bring honor and glory to God? Yeah, we should. But it can be stressful, and it can lead you to, really, if you're frustrated with money, to take it out on everything else, right? That you're a little bit short-tempered. As I said, one of the leading causes of divorce is financial things. Arguing over money makes you have a short fuse, you're ready to blow up, and you might even do it one day at work on your job. Blow up because of all the pressures of money. Watch this guy.
Stupid videos.
Can relate, right? Yeah, who's ever done that? Has anybody ever punched their computer? Be honest. I have. I've punched my computer. Does it work? Sometimes it helps a little bit. I don't know why. Normally doesn't work though. But finances can be something that really puts a lot of stress and can really mess you up. So today we have a few things that I want to share, and hopefully it'll be practical for you in dealing with finance. Let me get my Bible here, and let me get situated. All right. God has a lot to say about finances. Listen, here's a dollar. Is money important? Yes. Is money evil? No. Money's not evil. Money is what? A tool. Right? Money's a tool. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, right? It's the love of money. It's when we begin to worship money. That's when things get out of line. And that's when money can actually take over our hearts. And we begin to worship the almighty dollar versus worshiping the Lord Himself. Right? Is that easy to do? It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And even if we're not careful, sometimes it's not just that we have a lot of money and we worship that and we just care about our money. Sometimes it's people who are poor who worship money. Right? Sometimes it's the poorest people who money has a greater hold on them. Where they sit back and instead of thinking Jesus is my answer and I need more of Jesus, the only thing they say is if I only had more money. I need more money. And they focus about money. And if money's hard to, well, money is hard to come by. But when they're low on money, they begin to fear not having enough. And who is their Savior? Money. Money is the Savior. No, Jesus is our Savior, right? Am I right? Amen? We worship Jesus. We don't worship money. So it's not only rich people who worship money. Oftentimes, it's poor people who worship money. They're willing to do anything for money. They sacrifice for money in ways that they should not sacrifice. People sacrifice their health for money. They sacrifice their dignity for money. They sacrifice their emotions for money. And I want to say today that money is not evil. Money is a tool. And just like any other tool, it can be used for good or for evil. It's just a tool, right? How about a car? Is a car evil? No, but cars kill people, don't they? No, people who drive cars kill people. But can cars injure people? Absolutely. That doesn't mean cars are evil. Cars are a tool, right? They help you get from one point to another rather quickly. And if you take advantage of that tool, or if you're not careful with that tool, it could hurt you. How about a circular saw? Evil? No, but you could cut your hand off. Thank the Lord I haven't. Yeah, I haven't. Right? But it's just a tool. Good or bad. How about computers? Evil? No, it's just a tool. Computer's just an inanimate object. It's just a machine where little electrodes run around the circuit board and it makes things pop on your screen and you can use it for good or for bad, right? Absolutely. Facebook. Is Facebook evil? Almost. Facebook isn't evil, though. Facebook is a tool. I don't like how they disregard our privacy. That part drives me nuts. So it may be a tool I stop using at some point. But Facebook isn't evil. Facebook is a tool. There was a pastor about 6 months ago who got involved with some kind of an affair with somebody online through Facebook. And when he got done and he was caught, he stood up and said, "Facebook is evil. I was tricked by the devil. Everybody get off Facebook." Well, no, Facebook isn't evil. Facebook is no more evil than the post office, right? People who, could you imagine in the time period where you had no communication, then the postman would come and he could deliver letters to somebody else. Awesome, you could send a letter. And do you think that could be used for evil? Sure, you could write a letter to somebody who you shouldn't communicate with. That doesn't mean you should shoot the postman, nor does that mean we get rid of Facebook entirely. Facebook can be used for good and evil. You can get in contact with pastors. Scott Schesser was a missionary that came here not long ago in Japan. Remember the tsunami in Japan and the earthquake? Facebook was the place where he logged on to tell everybody he was okay. And we were praying for him and his family. And he said, oh, we're fine. And they were able to communicate. Facebook can be awesome. In fact, I believe just about all of our missionaries are on Facebook. And you yourself can befriend one of our missionaries or all of our missionaries. And you can get their updates. And you can say, how are you doing? We prayed for you today in church. Tim and Beth Pike, who Pastor Bob prayed for today, they're on Facebook. And you can get in touch with them. Can you find an old girlfriend or boyfriend? Yeah. Well, then I recommend don't do that, right? Ignore Facebook. Don't do that, or your wife or husband will kill you. Don't do that. Now, I've heard of people who, with the tool of Facebook, that they that it was hurting their marriage because of other people. Well, then get off Facebook, right? If the tool isn't working for you, don't use the tool. Right? Everybody with me? Right? If it's dangerous, don't use the tool. Circular saw. Will I give my daughter my circular saw? No, because it will hurt her. If something is hurting your marriage, stop. But it's just a tool. Moving on, right? Money is just a tool. It's the same thing. It can be used for good or for evil. What things can be money be used for that are evil? Anybody, some things that are bad? Right? Selling drugs, right? But money can be evil. Prostitution, right? Evil, right? How about things that are good? What can money be used for? What's that? Paying your bills. Good. Right? Food. Good. Cheesesteak. If it's a good cheesesteak, absolutely. Spending time with your family, right? Going on a vacation, right? Doesn't have to be extravagant, but getting away with your family and making memories, awesome. Good use of money. What else? What's that? I'm sorry? Golf? Chip and putt? Oh, yeah, with the Speed the Light tournament. Speaking of Speed the Light, Pastor Bob is helping to raise money for missionaries so they can buy vehicles. That's through the Chip and Putt golf tournament coming up. All the proceeds are going to go to bless missionaries and help them to be able to share the gospel. Missionaries need sound systems. Missionaries need vehicles. That's what Speed the Light does. It's awesome. Is money used to help the gospel? Absolutely. What else is money used for? To help us exist as a church, right? When we give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord, money helps us. How many stores give us discounts as a church? Zero! Do I wish they would give us discounts? Yeah, but they don't. They don't care. All of your chairs that you're sitting on are full price. The Bibles that you're reading are full price. Everything costs money, but that's okay. We're going to use money as a church as a tool to help us share Jesus, right? Amen? We there so far? All right. I hope you guys have a little bit more energy for kickball, because this would be the worst kickball game ever. I'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 10:16, page 487. Page 487 in your Bibles, Proverbs 10:16. The Bible speaks a lot about money. We're just going to look at this one proverb here today. Proverbs 10:16, it says, "The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin." Do you see that? The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Money is not sin. It's not sinful. It's how you spend your money, right? The Lord wants us to be faithful with our money. Godly people, it says, can use money as a tool to what? Enhance their lives. Do you see that? Enhance their lives. Evil people squander their money. To squander your money, it means you just kind of like let it go and you spend it frivolously or you don't really know where it happened. Evil people squander their money on sin. Sin is missing the mark. The definition of sin is like shooting an arrow. If you're shooting a bow and arrow, God has a target, right? Missing His perfect center of that target, that's sin. God wants us to be perfect, and anything outside of God's perfect plan is sin. There are sins of commission. These are the sins that we do. Evil people can spend their money on things that are evil. We've talked about that earlier for a second. Sins of omission are also real in our lives. Sins of commission are the sins that we commit. Sins of omission are the sins that we omit, meaning that's things that we are supposed to do that we don't do. Do you see that? Sins aren't just things that you do that are bad. Sins are also things that you don't do that are good. Right? Let's say you have a mortgage. Okay? Let's say you have a mortgage. Do you think God wants you to pay your mortgage? Yes. Absolutely does. Okay? What if you take the money that you have set aside to pay your mortgage and you use that for just other stuff? You just kind of waste it. You go out to dinner at fancy restaurants. Right? That's just for an example. Or if you say, I've never been to Hawaii, so you take the money that was set aside for your mortgage and you fly to Hawaii. You enjoy yourself, great weekend, come back. All right. Bank calls. We noticed your mortgage payment's a little late. Right? Is that a sin? Yeah. Right? Because you didn't spend your money on what you want, what it was supposed to go on. Are vacations a sin? No, but taking money that God gave you to live on and using that for something else and being frivolous with your money is a sin. If you squander your money, it's sinful. Right? Are we there? How many people do things like that and then end up saying, come on, God, where are you at? I hate you, God. Why can't you provide? Everybody pray that the Lord will help us. Because we need a miracle. When you were just frivolous, right? Heard a story of someone who talked about stewardship. Today we're going to talk about stewardship of money. But he was talking about stewardship of your body. And he says, how many people go and will go eat McDonald's 3 times a day? Well, maybe not. But you eat junk food all the time. And you'll sit down and you order 3 Big Macs, right? You order a Coke, the saltiest fries in the world, and you say, the saltier the better. And you sit down and you look at all this food, and then you pray. Lord Jesus, bless these 3 Big Macs for the nourishment of my body. And the Lord might be thinking, I'm not God, but maybe the Lord's thinking, well, maybe you should have bought fruit, or maybe you should have bought something, right? And not wasted your money. Well, in the same way, we can do that in their financial health, can't we? We can make decisions that aren't really good decisions. And it can really destroy us. Well, let's look at a few things today. That's our key verse this morning. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives. Evil people squander their money on sin. And I want to pray, Lord, help me have an enhanced life. Anybody else? Anybody who would pray, Lord, let me be godly, right? And let me use the tool that you have given me of money and finances wisely, that we can be a blessing to others. Well, let's talk about some financial facts. I want to share 4 facts with you today, okay? The first fact is God owns what? It all. God owns everything, doesn't He? Do we own anything? No. You don't own anything. If you think you do, well, just listen for a second. How many U-Hauls have ever been following a hearse? Right? Any U-Hauls hooked up to hearses? Right? You have things now, but when you die, you can't take it with you, can you? God allows us to have stuff. But we don't ultimately own it forever. God has given you everything. Right? With your health, God has given you everything, hasn't He? Right? Can any of us just think, I want to be healthy, and then you're going to be healthy? It doesn't work. Christian science, if you've heard of Christian scientists, not scientists who are Christian, but the religion of Christian science, okay, they believe that all sickness is fake. It doesn't exist. And their way of avoiding sickness and getting better is just to ignore it. And sickness doesn't exist anymore. Funny thing with the founders of Christian science, they're all dead. Okay? They're all dead. Sickness got them. You can't ignore sickness, can you? You can't sit back and just ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. We live in a real world. You can't just say, money's fine, I have no issues with money. And then you just throw your money away. You can't do that. We need to realize God owns all the money, and therefore, if God owns it all, that should help us to get a better grasp upon our own finances, right? So if you hold your wallet and you look at your cash, is this mine? I have 10 bucks. It's different when I hold this and say, this is God's, right? That God allowed me to have this. I'm going to think differently about how I spend it, knowing it's God's money, right? It's God's money. God gave you the ability to go to work. God gave you the income. God allowed things to happen in your life. Remember on the remember the famous quote before the Titanic went out? Someone said, God Himself can't even sink this ship. Right? Because they thought, we're strong. People are like that financially. I'm a self-made man. God can't do anything to me. It's my money. I'll do what I want. Well, it's really God's money. And as a Christian, I hope you realize that. God owns how much? All of it, okay? God owns all of it. Fact number two, God wants us to be good stewards of whose money? His money, okay? What is a steward? A steward is an old English word that meant someone who takes care of someone else's stuff. Okay? Like if you had a king who ruled over a kingdom, the steward of the king would be the person who handled all the king's affairs. They would watch the money. Maybe they would pay the bills or whatever. Money would come out and they would collect money back and they would handle the money that belonged to someone else. The steward never said, it's my money, because the steward clearly knew that's just his job, is to take care of this money. And it's really the king's money. Well, it's the same way for us. Everything is God's money. When you go to cash your paycheck, all those zeros, all those digits came from God, right? And we're to be good stewards of God's money. Everybody there so far? This might be the shortest message I ever preached, so if you can help me, we'll work through this, okay? We're already done, number two. I heard an amen on shortest ever. All right, just make sure you're with me. God owns everything, therefore we need to be good stewards. Why? Because evil people squander their money. Godly people use the money that God has given to bring enhancement to their lives. Third fact, God asks for 10% to be given back, right? What do we call that in church? We have a word for that. The tithe, right? The tithe. God asked for 10% to come back. So the picture is God has everything. God gives it to us and says, be my steward, and to prove that you're my steward, hand me back one. Hand me back 10%. Right? The picture is, I wish I had 10 ones. I don't think I do. That would have been awesome. I don't. But imagine if I had 10 ones and I handed them to Jordan and I said, here you go, Jordan. I own all this money, but I'm going to give it to you to hold. And when I give it to you, I ask you to give me a buck back and you can use the other 9 for whatever you need. That's a good deal, isn't it? Now, if Jordan took the money and ran, we would beat him up. But if Jordan, what would you do, Jordan? You hand me a dollar back. And how awesome would it be that I just gave you nine? Wouldn't that be cool? That would be cool, right? And Jordan would be like, yeah, pastor's awesome. I'm going next week. Right? And that's the picture with God and finance. It's really this simple. God owns everything. We just have to be a good steward with His money. God asked for 10% to be given back. Here's a verse. A lot of verses in the Bible. I'm going to share this one in terms of tithing. Computer's slowing down, but let's start reading. Deuteronomy 14:22. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. But good, Pastor, I don't have any crops. Well, this was written for an agricultural economy. Everybody was a farmer. So they got the crop thing. The important thing is the tenth, okay? One-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Verse 23. It says, bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for His name to be honored. Notice it says, bring this tithe, this 10%, the first 10% of what came in, where were they to take it? To the designated place of worship. It was to their church. Right? Do you see that? Was it to the TV preacher? No. Was it to the Red Cross? No. Was it to buy toys for needy kids? No. Did the people have a choice about where their tithe was supposed to go? No. To the designated place of worship. The place who? God chooses. That's the church that they went to. Okay? I've talked with people about tithing, and I've heard different conclusions that were drawn that just aren't biblical. For some people, they would think that the tithe is whatever you want it to be. A tithe is, it means tenth. So you can't have like a 20th, which would be 5%, and call it a tithe. Right? Are you there? Are you with me? God established the amount. God established the place where it should go. I've heard people love Jesus. I don't doubt that they love Jesus. But they would send their money to people on TV who owned way better houses than they owned, who eat at way better restaurants than they eat at, who, if you were lucky enough to walk in the same restaurant that they were sitting at, they would not ask you to sit down at their table. They would be in a private room with security guards because they're TV stars. They're, you know what I mean? But people who would give to the Lord and they would send things on TV because the TV guy stirred their heart. Now, are there good pastors on TV? Yes, there are. But I've heard the good ones who say, send your tithe to your church. Right? When the guy on TV says you send your tithe to him and not your church, he's out of line. And you need to turn him off. Right? Watch Frasier or something instead. It's just as spiritual. Because this guy's full of baloney. God says bring it to church. I've heard people who, again, love Jesus. They were a little wrong with their thinking of the tithe. And they wanted to buy Christmas presents for somebody. For a needy family. So they said, I'll take my tithe and buy Christmas presents for this needy family, and that's for the Lord. Well, that's not what the tithe is for, right? Amen, you with me? The tithe goes to the church. Now, can your church buy Christmas presents for needy people? Yes, if that's what your church decides to do. But as an individual, when we give our tithe, we give it back to God. And you don't place restrictions on it, right? We just give it to the church. For us, that would be when we fill out... You can just give it in the offering, but if you want to use an envelope, that would be general fund and tithes. That just means we just give it to the Lord. You understand? If we say this can only be used for basketballs for the youth group, which please don't write that on the line, because that drives our bookkeeper crazy. But if you did that, If it can only be used for basketballs, then legally we can only use it for basketballs. But that's also kind of not your tithe. Your tithe is we just give it to the Lord. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for His name to be honored. This application of your tithes, or this applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of all your flocks and herds. Basically, everything. Agricultural community, that's what this verse was written for. And you could see Moses reading the laws, and a guy's like, raising his hand. Moses is like, yes. Does this apply when I get new wine? Yes. Let's read on. And then somebody over here, how about when I get a new sheep? Yes. How about a new goat? Yes. 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 Everything the Lord your God has given you, right? So God owns it all. God gives us provision. He wants us to be faithful. Part of faithfulness is God says, give me a tenth back. Do it right away. Just hand it back to me to show that you're faithful with my money. Why do we give a tithe? Because God could, I guess, in theory, keep the 10% and just hand us 90. Would that be easier for us? Yeah, it would. Why? Because we're prone to keep all of it and forget God. Right? And it would be very easy if God would just say, I don't trust you, so I'm keeping my 10. I'm going to hand you 90 and we're square. Right? That would be easier, but that wouldn't teach us. Right? See, tithing isn't just about you giving to church. It's about you learning. Look at the last part of this verse. Doing this, well, what? Will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. It helps you remember who is your provider. Is God. Giving of your tithe is an act of obedience. Giving of your tithe is an act of worship. And when you do that, it brings you to the place of saying, you're God and I'm not. And when you hold your tithe envelope, it has you at a place of saying, I'm not the provider, you are. I am going to respect you. I am going to fear you. I'm going to worship you as God because everything I have is because of you. Do you understand? When we give of our offerings, it's worship to the Lord. Any questions with any of that? Are we there? Is that good? Okay. Because I could share like 115 more scriptures. I'm sure I could. I actually have the PowerPoint ready to go if you want me to. We can move on. Okay, that's okay. Are we there? All right. All right, let's go back to this. God owns it all. God wants us to be good stewards of His money. He just asked for 10% back in worship to Him. The last one, God gives us the 90% plus for us to use for His glory. God gives us 90%. Let me talk about that plus that I have after that. The book of Malachi tells us that when we give to the Lord, God blesses us. See, that's the other part of tithing that is awesome. That when we give to the Lord, God promises He will bless us. Now, the TV preachers, this is where some of them get a little screwy. Not all of them, because some of them are good. But some of them get a little weird where they go, give your tithe and God will give you a Cadillac. I checked the Hebrew. I couldn't find the word Cadillac in Hebrew. I don't think it's there. Okay? God says that He will provide and He will bring blessing on our lives. The book of Malachi tells us that. But blessing does not mean financial. Right? Could it be financial? Absolutely could. It could also come in a whole lot of other ways. So does God give us 90% for us to use for His glory? Yes. But could it be more than that? Yes, it can. Because sometimes you can give to God and God can have you receive more in return and you can actually do more with the 90% than you ever could have with the 100%. because God blesses you. Anybody ever catch a good sale and you know it was the Lord? I absolutely have seen that a lot in my life. I was in college. I'm kind of discombobulated, disorganized. I needed something to help me get through school. And I found what ended up being an awesome thing. It was a full-color screen Palm 3C. Does anybody remember the old Palm Pilots? You remember that, Rich? I love my Palm 3C. It was awesome. When I was in school, that little thing was $400. 400 bucks, and it helped you organize stuff. Right? I didn't have really any money. One day, walking through Staples, trying to figure out, Lord, how can I get everything situated? I need something to help me. I think it was the Lord that directed me to Staples. I guess in hindsight, not to super spiritualize it, but I ended up at Staples. And I'm walking through the aisle of Staples, and here's this brand new Palm 3C, best Palm Pilot around. It was $100. Because somebody bought it and said, I don't like it, and took it back. So I got this $400 item, which I didn't have, for $4, which was a blessing for my life. I got a keyboard. It was like a little laptop. It was awesome. It helped me get through school. I used it in ministry forever. Why am I saying all that? Because I needed something, and God allowed me to get a 75% off sale for the item that I needed to finish college with. Isn't that awesome? Right? Anybody else excited about sales? I am. And when we give to the Lord, He can allow us to get things to help us with money. He provides financially. Sometimes you might get money. The lady giving you change and she messes up and gives you too much back, that's not God's provision. Tell her and give it back because you're going to get that girl fired. That's not God's provision, but God does provide, doesn't He? He absolutely does. How else can He provide? He can provide by you giving to Him and other people maybe just coming and becoming a blessing in your life. Sometimes people will give you something. God provides in ways that you don't ever expect. How many has a story of God's provision? Can I see your hand? Right? Who wants to say really quick in like 4 seconds what God provided? Anybody? Donna? Yeah, that was awesome. Awesome. Brian? That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else? John? Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, unexpected money. God absolutely provides. Back here I saw a hand. Is that Pastor Bob? Yeah. Yeah, awesome. And when we give to the Lord, we learn to remember who is our provider, right? We begin to fear the Lord. And even in that, God's never late, is He? Does it seem like He's going to be sometimes? Sometimes it does. But God's never late. He shows up exactly when He wants to show up, right? And He shows up and it's always good. And it's usually different than the way you expected. I can sit back and organize things and, all right, God, if you do this on this date, it'll all be good. And God doesn't work that way. Usually God will work in a whole completely different way and show up and surprise you and bless you. Absolutely. When we give to Him, we line ourselves up in a place where God can bless us. Right? Olga?
Mm-hmm. I said, that's not my money, that's God's money. Yeah. Well, I said, do I got it? So I saw that I was scared to go because he was stepping on it. So when he went away, he went to the office. I went and checked. It was a $20 bill. So I went.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Thank the Lord. That's awesome. And I'm glad that wasn't a story of you pickpocketing your boss. It wasn't that. You went to the boss. I found this. He said, you keep it. It's yours. And yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thank the Lord. God absolutely provides. When it comes down to this, it's either are we worshiping God or not. Do we trust God or not? Right? Either we do so or we don't. And I think when we can clutter things in our mind, but when we simplify, God owns everything. He wants us to be good. God says, here's a pizza with 10 slices. Just hand me back one, right? It makes it so simple. And we're going to end up with more than we ever had. He absolutely promises to provide and bless us. Sometimes you might find a good deal. Sometimes somebody might give you something. Sometimes God might make the tires on your car last a long, 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 long time. He did that in the Bible to the Israelites. As they walked 40 years through the wilderness, their shoes never wore out, their clothes never wore out, and God provided for them. Has God provided for me? Yes. Has God allowed things to last forever? Yes. My car has 185,000 miles on it. And it runs pretty good. Okay? The Lord is good. Now, you should turn off the mic. Kate. No, I'm kidding. I'm saying in case anybody ever wants to buy my car. But to be honest with you, I haven't been the best at changing my oil the way I should have. I should have been a little bit better. I allowed life to catch up and was busy. So I can't say it's 184,000 miles and it's still running great because I've been Mr. like Pep Boy and took care of it. That's not it. You know, I try to do those things, but God is blessing me, right? I don't give the glory to myself for being mechanically inclined. The Lord has blessed my life. Amen? Anybody else have things that just lasted forever? Anybody else wearing socks that are 12 years old? Right? The Lord's blessing you. Don't throw those things away. Keep wearing them. The Lord is good. He really is, seriously. We joke, but God is good. Let's move on. I want to share a couple of practical things to help you in this. We must be good stewards, right? We must be good stewards. What tools can we use to help us be good stewards? In terms of financial things, we need to end up making sure that we're doing what we should do with our money. Okay? The first tool that I have is pencil and paper. You can write down what you bring in. Everybody's checkbook probably has that little thing at the top where you can fill out your register. Right? And you can keep track of things. Can I see how many people in here are excellent with keeping track of everything they spend? Can I see? Okay. Now I would ask, but I don't want to embarrass you, but I think a lot of us, you're terrible. Right? And you just kind of go to the Mac machine or ATM machine, and you swipe it just to get an idea of how much money you have, even though you know it's wrong, right? Not just wrong to do. I mean, you know the numbers are wrong. Because you know if you wrote out checks or if your ATM thing didn't go through for 3 days later, you know you're looking at the number. If it says you have $650, you know you might have $650. It might be $610. Might be $580. Might be $320. It depends. You think, did my car insurance go through? Right? Do I have any outstanding checks? Has anybody done that before? I've done that before, right? Okay? It's really easy to do that. A tool to use could be pencil and paper and stay on top of those things. See, when you want to give 10% to the Lord, that's something you need to figure out. Right? You need to do that. And when you have 90% to do everything you need to do, you have to pay for your house, right? Anybody have rent or a mortgage? Right? Everybody else is living free. Where do you guys live? Can I move in with you? Right? People have bills, right? Yes? Yes? Okay. How many have car payments? Yes? I'm glad I don't. But if you do, God bless you. Yeah. Electric bills? Anybody? Cable? Does anybody have your electric running straight before the meter so that way it's free? That's illegal. Right? Anybody doing that? Anybody want to confess? Other than that, you're getting a bill. You need to pay that bill. You need to be... Groceries? Anybody get free groceries? I don't. I want to come to your store if you do. Right? Yeah? Extreme... I'm trying to be an extreme couponer, actually. I'm trying to do the double coupons at ShopRite thing. It's hard. But it's good. Yeah. Awesome. But you know, we all have bills we need to do. You need to keep track of them with pencil and paper. To be honest with for you, or be honest with you, for me, I found that difficult to stay on top of. So I just want to share with you a couple of things that I do personally. I don't work for these companies. I'm not making any money from them. But I want to share with you ways that I've been able to help get things in control. Okay? I use my computer. Okay, here's why I like using your computer, because it adds and subtracts perfectly.
What do you do if the electric goes off?
Well, yeah, crank. It's a good one. I haven't had that problem. Sure. Well, and in today's day and age, if your money's in the bank, though, and the electric goes off, the bank's not giving it to you either. So you're right. If our political enemies shut off our electric, we're going. Well, good. Awesome. And if pen and paper work for you, do it. Thank the Lord, Doris. That's good. That's a great way to do it. For me, I found... a computer program that works really well for my account management stuff. That program is Quicken. I love Quicken because Quicken is easy. Quicken came free with my old Windows 98 computer that we had, well, probably around 99 is probably when I got it. It was free, full version installed. So I just started using it, and it actually works very, very well. Here's a box that shows you what the program looks like. Okay? Quicken has helped me tremendously. It's cheap, actually. It's pretty cheap. It's not free software. You can get a free trial. I don't know. You can try it. I like it, though. You can get Quicken for about $29. This is the brand new 2011 version. You don't need to get the new version all the time. Before this, I had 2008. I just got this before that was 2005. So if you do it every 3 years, it's like $10 a year if you want to use this. This program works well because this helps me do a budget. Okay? So if I am, and actually it works just like your check registry, the thing at the top of your checkbook. If you go in and enter things, you can type like rent and right where you make your check out to, how much, click enter, and it deducts it. You just have to make sure you type in the right amount. And it deducts it automatically. Okay? And if you do all your bills that way, you can easily look at a graph. Pictures, right? Anybody like pictures? I'm a picture person. You can look at a graph like this and tells you how you're spending your money. See, when we talk about being a good steward, it's God's money, right? And we want to do the best we can with God's money. So this program helps me to sit back and say, wow, if the big part of this circle is car payment, which it was not too long ago, you need to look at that and say, can I do anything to fix that? Or if you go out to restaurants too much, well, this is going to show. And you can look and say, am I tithing? Am I giving to the Lord? Well, solid rock should have a little 10% thing there, right? That's how that works. And you can easily enter things and figure out how things go. I love Quicken. Does anybody else use Quicken in here? No? Does anybody else use any kind of a computer program to help you? Does anybody do that? QuickBooks? Well, QuickBooks is awesome. QuickBooks is the same company, actually. Quicken is more the home everyday user. QuickBooks is more the accounting stuff. Same company, though. Awesome product. Anybody else? If you do use something, I'd really like you to share just so we can give ideas to each other on how to be better. You just use a spreadsheet. Okay. Excel spreadsheet. Yeah, and you could do that too. And Excel, I use Excel a lot because it adds and subtracts perfectly. Does math for you perfectly. Providing your formula's right and you type in the right number, you're going to end up with a good result. Shana? Mint.com. That's actually the next one I was going to put up here. Awesome. Mint.com was just recently bought by Intuit, the Quicken company. Mint.com is free. It's free. It's online. I like to do the version that I keep on my own computer, so if I'm not near the internet, I can still access it. But through Mint.com, or you can do Quicken online as well, you can access your stuff, but you have to be on the internet. But Mint.com is absolutely free. It works the same way. Other ways that this works, and Mint.com I'm sure works as well, you can download all your transactions from your bank, right? So you can download them into the computer. And then you can enter them the way you want them to go, and you can sit back and say, wow, I took $600 out of my account for cash this month. Too much donuts, right? And you can look and I need to do something about that. And you can help to organize your life. Listen, if you don't pay attention to your life, though, if you don't pay attention to your financial health, you're going to end up squandering it. Right? You need to pay attention. You can use paper and pencil. That's awesome. You can use things like Quicken or whatever, and it connects to your bank account, and it'll help you figure things out. I find this to be quick. It works for me. Mint.com, I'm sure, is the same thing. It works really well. All right, I think that's all I really wanted to say about this. Okay. Any questions on that? Anybody have any real-world questions about this kind of stuff? It's pretty easy. It's not really hard to do. You could catch your stuff up in like 10 minutes a week, 15 minutes a week, and you can know where your money's going so you can be a good steward. Moving on, let me talk about bill pay services quickly. Bill pay services. I found this to be a help for myself as well. There are many bill pay services. If you use a bank, your bank may have free bill pay services anyway. Newfield National Bank has free bill pay. I know that. I don't know what other bank you have, but you can use their services. It's where they will pay bills for you online. Does anybody use any kind of a bill pay service? No? You? Yeah, what do you use? You know? Sure, to the people. Okay, so you just do it yourself through each person. I pay my car insurance that way. I don't use a bill pay service for my car insurance. I just pay Geico. I have Geico. I pay for all the lizard ads. I told Amber that. We were in the store. Dad, there's another sign we bought. Yep, honey, see the lizard? We paid for that sign. But I just do that directly as well. For me, I just find that easier. You need to stay on top of your bank account, though, and make sure nobody's double charging you. Now, you may say, well, I don't want my bank account online. Here's the truth of the matter. Your bank account is. It just is. Your bank has your account online. The question is whether or not you can access it. You're already on the internet. Unless you have your mattress, you know, with your money under your mattress, you're on the internet somehow. When you go to Wawa and you swipe your card, they send your credit card over the internet when you buy gas. So your credit card's on the internet. You should be looking at identity theft stuff anyway. You should be looking at your credit card statements and your bank statements to make sure nothing was paid for that you did not pay for. You understand? I know of a good friend of mine, actually. Real world story. Myself, I've never had that happen that I've seen. But a good friend of mine actually found something on his credit card statement where someone purchased something online and sent it to like Florida. And he had to go and call the Visa company and have it removed. Anybody ever have that happen? That happens, right?
I had a stolen car 20 years ago.
Yeah.
One day I got, one day not too long ago, last year, I got a
right.
So he said, might be called, say. So somebody in Texas wants American tickets.
Yeah.
And it was about the world's terrorists were.
Sure.
Well, the FBI got involved.
Right. Wow.
And it was a mess. Let me tell you.
Wow.
So now they tell me, the agent told me that if you know, when you get a card and then the next time they renew it,
you have to be careful. And that's where being a good steward of God's money includes looking at the details. I found a computer to help me with the details. And if not, if you don't want to use a computer, that's fine. But you need to be a good steward and you need to look closely at these things. Bill pay services. I want to plug this one that I use that, to me, I've found to be a blessing. And it's helped me. Has anybody ever had a late fee? Would we say late fees are being good with God's money or bad with God's money? Bad, right? Okay. How much is a late fee? $35? 20, yeah, 20, something like that. I use a bill pay service that has helped me to never have a late fee again. It's part of Quicken because I like Quicken. Quicken bill pay. Okay. I pay $9.95 a month, which... $10 a month, that's a whole lot cheaper than a late fee. Okay? And they manage all my bills because I just do it online. Okay? So if I have a credit card bill, I have it sent to Quicken Bill Pay, and Quicken Bill Pay will pay that bill for me automatically as much as I want whenever I want. I could say pay off the credit card as soon as the bill comes in. I could say pay off the credit card on a due date. I could say pay the minimum payment or pay this and that. For $9.95 a month, they do that. They pay up to 10 people. If you use over 10, it's a little bit more. I've never really used over 10. So $9.95, it'll pay your utility bills. Atlantic Electric can go right through there, and it'll pay it for you. Right? It can also send you an email and say, look at this, so it's not automatic, but your bill's here waiting for you to look at. Here's your bank will probably do many of those things. I like Quicken Bill Pay for this reason. Quicken Bill Pay will also pay real life people through the mail. Okay? So what that means is I don't buy stamps. I don't buy envelopes. So $9.95 a month looks really good when you're paying 10 people and it's mailing them physical checks. So it prints checks, it mails checks, it handles checks, it pays 45 cent postage each thing, and it's still just $9.95 a month, and it'll pay people on time. I love it. It works well for me. If you're finding yourself, though, having late fee after late fee, you need to do something. Okay? 3 late fees a year pays for Quicken Bill Pay. 3 late fees a year destroys your credit. If you use Quicken Bill Pay, or if you just do it, your credit will be good. And you know, then you'll be a good steward with the Lord's money. I use Quicken Bill Pay because that actually connects to Quicken for me, and everything's automatic, and it's nice in my complete little computer world. That's just what I do. So, I like it. You don't have to do that. I don't work for Quicken. I wish they would give me free services, because I'm saying this. They're not. But they're just some tools that I use. Again, use your bank, Quicken Bill Pay. I like that. So, anybody have any questions on any of that? Before we move on, John. Yeah. Well, that's true too, right? Be in touch with your people and they could remove that late fee. You're right. You're right. And sometimes you get charged for things you shouldn't be charged for. You should call them and straighten that out. Last thing I want to talk about, Pastor Bob, this is where we're going to do that short, really short video clip. I'm going to talk quickly about, for one second, about how we can get educated with financial stuff. Okay? There is a great thing called Financial Peace University from Dave Ramsey. It's incredible stuff. It's a 13-week college class-like thing that I'm thinking about doing for our church. Okay? I started doing this myself. It's just phenomenal stuff where he helps you to figure out things like investments, right? Insurance, how to deal with creditors when people are calling you, bugging you for money, and how to actually work with salesmen and all these things that are complicated. Now, I'm going to switch over this input here for Pastor Bob. I'm going to show a quick minute and a half video clip, and then I'm going to give you a brochure, and then we're just about out of here. There you go, Pastor Bob, that one right there.
I need a tall coffee, please.
Sure.
Thanks.
It's declined.
Has this ever happened to you?
70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. We finally found a picture that pretty well outlines what the average American family's finances look like. People that look like this come into our office all the time. They're going, dude, can you get me out?
Isn't it time for a change? Financial Peace University is a 13-week video program designed by Dave Ramsey. FPU teaches families and individuals to pay off debt, save for the future, and give like never before. In fact, the average family pays off over $5,300 in debt and saves $2,700 while completing the program. The result is changed lives, strong marriages, and families that are financially healthy. Graduates emerge equipped to triumphantly gain control of their finances. Normal is broke. Be weird. Thank you. Financial Peace University. Sign up today.
Awesome. Has anybody ever heard of this? Financial Peace University? This is phenomenal stuff. This was done at Malaga Assembly. Okay? They did it. It's actually was done. They're doing it at Chestnut Assemblies. It's not just Assemblies of God churches. You can go on their website. There's many churches that are doing it. This, can you help me out? Can you help me out, Ivan? If you can help hand out some of these to our people, that would be great. If you're interested, grab a brochure. This is phenomenal stuff that helps you understand things that your creditors don't want you to know. And things that your banks and insurance companies don't want you to know. People want to take advantage of you. Do we always hear the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer? Right? Anybody ever hear that? Well, this class will help you figure out how to break that cycle. Okay? This is a class. This is not a pyramid scheme. Dave Ramsey does not sell anything. Okay? This is not a weird thing where we're all going to start selling Tupperware to all of our friends. It's not that. You're not going to be asked to do anything strange. It's not that. It is a 13-week... Oh, thank you. It is a 13-week class that'll help you figure out things like compound interest and really help you make wise decisions when it comes to insurance, when it comes to investments, when it comes to spending and saving. And I think this will be a tremendous blessing to you. I've been doing this myself because I've heard a lot about it. Lancer and Alicia from our church, they've actually been attending one of these classes because they do it at Chestnut Assembly. And I've been praying for a while about what can we do to help our finances through our church. And I've heard about this and heard a lot of things. And so I grabbed the CDs and I've listened to the entire class. All 13 weeks I've listened to in my car over the past 2 weeks. It's phenomenal. And as I'm listening to it, there was a lot of stuff, to be honest with you, I did not know about finances. There's things in my life where I've spent money on insurance and stuff, which has been wasted, where I would have been better off doing other things. And Dave Ramsey is a man who's a really gifted teacher, and he is someone who worked hard and went bankrupt because he was doing all the things wrong. And he learned how to do them right, and now he shares those things through a college-like class. I'm looking at doing this, if there are enough people interested, in September. If nobody cares, I'm going to do it myself because it's really good stuff. Again, it's not selling anything. Right? Right? You understand? It's not selling anything. It's not, you don't give a dollar each week. It's nothing like that. You're not going to leave here doing anything. It's just strictly a class where we hear 1 week about insurance, 1 week about investments, another week about creditors, another week about saving for your kids' college, and so forth. But it's phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. And a lot of people really, really, really like it. If you look in your bulletin, I have a free preview set up. That is going to be June 17th, okay? Today's the 5th, so that's in 12 days. On a Friday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a free preview. I would like to start this class in September, okay? But what I want you to do, there are some... you have to pay for the class. The class is like $100 per family who comes, okay? This is paying, if you've ever paid for college, $100 is cheap, okay? But it's a class where I'm not teaching. He's teaching through video. And for that $100, you get the whole big thing of CDs, so you can listen to it all again. You get two hardcover books, I believe. It's probably printed in that brochure I gave you. It's a $100 thing that won't be due until as we get closer to it. That's September-ish. But they allow churches to check out the free preview. And that's what I want to show on the Friday coming up, okay? And again, you know me. I'm not asking for money, but that's not the deal. The deal is we want to be good stewards with God's money. And the truth is, your high school is not teaching this to your kids. And the truth is, when I was in high school, I did not learn this. And to be honest with you, if I knew what I know now from listening to this class, I mean, if I knew that when I was 18 or even 15, I would have done a lot of things differently. I made a lot of stupid decisions in my life that I would have changed had I had the wisdom to know better. And I think this kind of thing can really, really help you in a very real, very tangible way. And I'm not going to ask for money in June. That's not the point. We're going June 17th. We're just going to come, sit. We're going to watch the free preview thing, which it's like 25 minutes is all. We're going to work through that, and then you can decide whether or not you're interested in doing this. Okay? Any questions, anybody? Okay. I don't even have a particular day of the week for September in mind. It could be on a Wednesday night. It could be on a Friday night. It doesn't really matter to me. I just want to get a feel of when people can do it, and if you want to do it, I think this could be a blessing to you and just help you. All right? All right. We're just going to go to prayer at this point. Today, I hope you found today's message to be pretty practical. We finished the how-to series, how to do many things, including how to be faithful with our finances. But when it's all said and done, okay, this seminar that I'm presenting you with today, it's just a tool. Right? It's just a tool. It only works if you use it. The computer programs or paper and pencil, they're just tools. But it's all about worshiping the Lord, isn't it? Amen? The picture of this guy kneeling before the cross, I think, should accurately capture our financial viewpoint, right? Because it's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all God's money. And when we go to serve Him, we just want to worship Him. We want to be wise. We want to be the godly who allows their earnings to enhance their life versus the evil who squander it. We don't want to squander it. We want to live for God. We want to worship Him and do so with our finances as well as our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? Let's pray today. Jesus, we love You, God. We thank You, Lord, for everything. God, we know You've given us so much. And today we're grateful. We're grateful for places to live. We're grateful for food. We're grateful for friends. We're grateful for the finances that You provided. And today we worship You. And I thank You, God, that You give us so much, and we want to give back to You today. We pray, Lord, that You would take our gift and multiply it, use it for Your glory. God, we pray that You would just bring blessing upon Your people as well. Help us to have a great day today, and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.